98.7 FM. Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Murata.
It's going to be lit, is what I hear every single day. It's the greatest radio show ever.
Dan Bickley. Vince Murata.
It's the greatest show on earth.
Bickley and Murata.
Good morning and welcome.
I love this show.
Me too.
It's the greatest radio show
really
that's ever existed.
It really, really
in
is.
In case you needed a refresher for the new version of the prolonged open.
Let's cut the crap, Mr. Murata.
Bickley and Murata.
I hate everything about this show. This is the worst show in the world. Happy Monday, Valley sports fans. Happy month of March to everybody. February, woo, see ya.
It's not the shortest month in the calendar for nothing.
Yeah, really felt like it this year,
it flew by.
Yeah. I'm getting really tired of it feels so weird, this weird concept of time. I'm just done with it. The month of March is going to be a very interesting month for us because as sports fans, we're going to get an NCAA tournament for the first time in a couple of years. And I don't know what this is going to look like, if they're going to pull this off, if they're going to be able to play game after game after game. They say there's going to be no postponements. So if you are a college basketball team number A and you get a couple of positive tests or something, you're done. You're just done. The tournament moves on without you. I don't know what it's going to look like. I really don't.
Yeah, it's certainly something that has plagued college basketball. As we're getting down to the nitty-gritty, I mean, conference tournaments start basically next week, if you can believe that. ASU's got their final home game today.
Yeah, you mean the red-hot Sun Devils? Is that what you're talking about?
At the right time. They're getting hot.
Yeah, and yet they still can't get full strength. It's a weird thing.
They played 7 players on Saturday.
I know. I know.
Nobody left.
I don't even know what to think of that. I think how excited we were when Josh Christopher agreed to come to ASU.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought, oh, look at this. We're getting 5-star recruits now.
Yeah.
For a few games.
For 60% of the season.
For a few games. It's so transactional now. It is just the college sports are so hosed. Seriously.
Well, again, lasting effect from 2020/2021 is we can cross our fingers for people. And I'll speak for you on this one.
Mm-hmm.
People who love college athletics, but know it can be so much more. Hopefully sweeping change is coming.
Yeah,
in the big revenue sports.
I would hope so. So we will begin today's show and the month of March with well wishes to the NCAA tournament. The basketball tournament has always been a crown jewel for us. And this is, I just got a bad feeling, Vinny.
I don't know why
you would
have
that feeling. They're going to pull it off. All right,
you don't think so?
I don't know.
You don't think the whole Indiana strategy is going to pay dividends?
I hope. I really, really do hope. So there you go. Start the show, Carlin.
The Splash. Splash. The stories making waves in the sports world. The Splash.
Cannonball coming.
The Splash, brought to you by Presidential Pools, Arizona's number one pool builder. See why at presidentialpools.com.
And we start the Splash with Devin Booker. Went off in Minneapolis last night, scored 21 of his season-high 43 points in the third quarter, and the Suns won 118-99 win over the Timberwolves. Phoenix muddled through much of the game, including the entire first half, committing 10 turnovers, led by only 5 points at the half, setting the stage for Booker's ignition. Chris Paul, 15 assists. Ooh. DeAndre Ayton, 22 points, 10 rebounds for the Suns, who are now 22-11. And with the Clippers losing to the Bucks, Phoenix now just a half game behind the Clippers for the third spot in the Western Conference. And a game looming, a big game looming tomorrow night in Los Angeles against another team ahead of the Suns, LeBron James and the Lakers.
Booker's ignition. Good name for a band. Yeah, even
that, huh?
Yeah, even better on a basketball court. Yeah, this is it was kind of a really different kind of weekend for the Phoenix Suns, and I don't know what to make of it. I'm glad they notched a couple of victories. I am stoked to see this Lakers game. For what it's worth, I don't know what I don't know. The intensity and the urgency, recurring issues on this team. I want them to go away. Let's put it that way. But props to Devin Booker for lifting his team up last night.
Yes. I mean, you're not going to get laser focus all the time, but the absence of laser focus is way too prevalent.
Don't ever tell me that.
I'm preaching to the choir?
Yes, you are.
What you're saying?
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
Portland Trailblazers guard Anfernee Simons, Indiana Pacers rookie Cassius Stanley, and rookie forward Obi Toppin of the New York Knicks are expected to participate in the slam dunk contest, so they're bringing out all the stars, Bick. Not according
Jordan,
to Adrian
Dominique,
Wojnarowski.
Watch out.
Yeah. Those three players have combined for 18 dunks this season, 16 of them by Toppin.
Wow. Man. That's not good.
No, you could tell my thoughts on the slam dunk contest these days.
It's played out. There's nothing left to the imagination now because everything's been attempted and everything's been done.
Don't you think they should make it like horse now?
Somebody
does a dunk and then somebody else has to match
that's what
that
they
dunk.
Should do.
Boom. There you go.
Or just do it on 12-foot rims. Just bring one in and say, let's try this.
Do it like the high jump.
Yeah.
So you start
like
with a regular
that.
Rim, and then
like
it goes
that.
Up like 3 or 6 inches
right.
every time.
That's right. I like that.
That eliminates the smaller players from ever being able to win.
Good. I hate Nate Robinson.
Why do you hate Nate Robinson, Jared?
One, because he killed
U
of A.
He Arizona.
Also, he stole.
Yeah, he did hit a game-winning three. I remember that very, very vividly.
And then he was like, this on the top of his head. I hate him. And then also, he stole a slam dunk contest win from Andre Iguodala.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
So territorial.
The travesty of that. I didn't even know that was a thing.
How dare he?
Andre Iguodala, that's a thing?
How dare he?
Now you know.
The audacity.
Yeah, I know.
D-backs opened up spring training yesterday with a 5-2, 8-inning loss to the Colorado Rockies. Apparently this year they're just going to decide on the fly how long they're going to play. What do you guys feel like doing?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I don't know.
Let's do
six
that.
Innings today.
Trace Thompson homered for the D-backs. Zach Gallen started through two scoreless innings despite walking two batters in the first. Today, D-backs host Milwaukee at Salt River Fields. Merrill Kelly against Corbin Burns to start. First pitch is at 1:10. ASU Hoops plays its final home game of the regular season this afternoon, hosting Washington State at Desert Financial Arena. Those two teams met on Saturday. ASU got the win 77-74 thanks to a buzzer-beating three-pointer in overtime by Remy Martin, who's closing very strong.
Remy's playing well right now.
ASU's won three straight and can even their record at 11-11 today with a win. Tip-off 1 o'clock.
Two things. Did I see over the weekend that Remy Martin might come back another year for ASU?
He said it on the post-game show with Tim Healy and Kyle Dodd, and that he said it again in his press availability that he's taking things.
That's a good move.
He's not looking into the future.
Okay, I would highly endorse that. And back to this whole Cactus League thing.
Yeah.
Isn't this just a little odd that we're at this place in sports now where everything is so micromanaged that you can't even put together a 9-inning game of baseball without going past your prescribed workloads for guys?
The first game was topped off at 8.5 innings.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you just couldn't roll out three more outs for us?
Well, I guess they didn't need to because Colorado was the home team. But
yeah, I guess.
Wait, that doesn't make sense. Yeah, Diamondbacks should have got their last crack, right?
They use this team or this term now, rolling? And you just, that's code now. Everybody off the field. We're done with this half inning.
Pretty soon it's going to be like Little League. When you hit 60 pitches, they're going to pull it. Sirens are going to go off, and they're going to get the pitcher.
Yeah.
Arizona visits Oregon in Eugene tonight. Tip-off at 7. ASU women's hoops beat U of A, upset the 9th-ranked Wildcats in Tempe yesterday, 66-64. The Pac-12 women's tournament starts on Wednesday. ASU, the 9 seed. They'll take on number 8 seed USC. Never talk about college wrestling in the Splash, but shout-out to ASU. Another Pac-12 team championship yesterday in Corvallis. They're 4th in the last 5 years. 5 different Sun Devils won their individual weight classes, including Anthony Valencia at 165 pounds. He was also the most outstanding wrestler of the tournament. And in golf, Colin Morikawa continued his stellar play. Final round, 3-under-69 to win the WGC Workday Championship in Florida. He won by 3 strokes. He's now won 4 times on the tour and 3 since last July, including a major. Many golfers on the course wore Tiger Woods' signature Sunday color combination of red and black to pay tribute to Woods, who, of course, continues recovery from multiple surgeries after a one-car accident.
I know this is a really irrelevant, irrational take. I was disappointed that every single golfer did not do that. And I get it. If you're Colin Morikawa, you're there to win a golf tournament. You're not there to pay homage. So you're going to wear what makes you feel comfortable. I get that.
Can't you do both? Does a color affect how you feel that much?
I don't know, man. It would at least be acknowledgement to how much money Tiger Woods has made all of them. That's all. I thought it was a little weak on the effort. You know, a little something for the effort there.
How many golfers still don't like Tiger Woods? There's your splash for the first day of March 2021. Coming up next, it was a stellar February for the Phoenix Suns. They capped it off with a big performance from Devin Booker last night in Minnesota. We'll get into it next. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Murata.
Shot clock's down to 9. Booker dribbling on the logo. Got a round read straight to the rim. Laid it up. Count that basket and the foul as Booker gets sent down onto the floor. Spinning around in a circle. He's got a chance at a three-point play in an acrobatic deuce of damage.
John Bloom on the call on the Suns radio network last night. 2 of the 43 points for Devin Booker in a explosion performance, 118-99. And I'll say this, Bick. We've been waiting for a game like that from Devin Booker. Mm-hmm. He's slowly increased his scoring output. The 30-point games are much more common than they were at the beginning of the year when I think there was a lot of acclimation and feeling out with new teammates. But they needed that performance last night. And yeah, they won by 21 points, mm-hmm. or 19 points, excuse me. My math is really good. But they, when he really took that game over, he was good in the first half with 20, but 21 points in the third quarter is exactly what the doctor ordered for the Suns because they were floundering.
Yeah, I didn't like that one bit. I thought, oh no, you can't lose to this team, and I was starting to get worried about that, and so was Devin Booker. If you listen to his comments after the game, I like the fact that he said, I saw where this was going, and I needed to stop that fast.
Mm-hmm. I said it post game, we've had multiple losses this year, and I think 7 of them playing with the lead, 17 points or better, 7 games. So you know, I just didn't want this night to be one of those nights. But it was still a collective effort with that unit. You know, Dario came in the fourth quarter, hit a couple big shots, and once we got it going, we got it going. But, you know, obviously we wanted to be sooner and later and, you know, step on our opponent, but we didn't do that to start the game.
Yeah, I agree with that assessment. It was a very sloppy performance with the basketball, especially in the first half. Some not just turnovers, but the nature of which were frustrating because it just looked like lack of focus. Mm-hmm. Trying to make passes that were ridiculous. Eddie Johnson made the point during the game. I've never seen so many cross-court passes in my life in an NBA game, so both teams were doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It led to sloppiness. I think it kept Minnesota in the game a lot longer than they needed to be. That's a bad basketball team right now trying to find their way under a new head coach. So
yes.
Kudos to Devin Booker for putting the cape on and carrying his team to victory. That's
right.
Not to say there wasn't other good things that happened last night. There was. Chris Paul with 15 assists. I thought DeAndre Ayton played really well last night, especially in the second half. Dario Saric continues to be a godsend off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
He's been so good this year.
Yeah.
And thankfully only missed one game with the ankle and with injury, and they got past that Friday night in Chicago.
Right. Yeah, no, I think there was enough good stuff to go around last night. And again, I think this is just one of those ones you have to get in the win column and move on to the stuff that's really significant. The idea, though, that Devin Booker had to lift this team up emotionally, it begs once again the question, how do you deal with this recurring issue? And where does this issue come from? Is it the same as playing down to your opponent? Is it what exactly is going on in the growth of this team that this is a stalling point? The other thing that they did do is, as you mentioned, campaign not getting the minutes at backup point guard anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They need a better, more stronger defensive presence that, you know, the pick and roll scheming and all that kind of stuff. So that was a little adjustment that that Monty Williams made in regard to that. But the idea of, complacency, for lack of a better word. What is it? Why is it? Where is it? How to fix it?
Yeah, here was Monty Williams talking about that very subject, about consistency with this team.
The turnovers, there were a few times where we didn't make the next pass. Cam Johnson had one where I think Dooley was in the corner, you know, wide open. And Cam's the guy. He's one of our guys that makes the right play all of the time. So that's the deal for me. We can't get bored with the effort and the efficiency that we put on the floor every night. We're trying to be a good team. We're not even close to being a great team. We're trying to be consistent at being a good team. And that's something that we're going to continue to hammer, not just these next couple games and certainly the next one we have against the Lakers, but for the rest of the year.
Yeah, and that is going to be a big one, because now you get on the tail end of a three-game road trip, Bic, and right before the All-Star break, you get an opportunity to measure yourself against the champions. And they're still shorthanded without Anthony Davis, but they've seemingly corrected things a little bit. They got a big win last night over Golden State. But it's always, you know, that's always a measuring stick when you go to the Staples Center and you play that team with LeBron James. I'm very curious to see what kind of performance and what level of consistency the Suns are able to put out there against a much better team.
Yeah. The rising up to a good team. Yeah. Listen, these are games that matter because A, it's Los Angeles, B, it's LeBron, and this could be, if things go well, something that resembles a Western Conference final for the Phoenix Suns. And that really is the debate that's out there among basketball people who know what they're talking about. And I think you heard it from Bill Simmons, and that is, people look at the Suns and what they have and how they're playing. They're going, okay, that's a team that can get into the second round. Where you find the debate is whether people think they can get to the Western Conference Finals. Can they win a second playoff series? That's kind of like the line of delineation right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's based on exactly what Monty Williams said, that the consistency is not quite there. Now, I once again will ask you, anybody who watched the end of the Clippers game yesterday against the Bucks, would you feel good about Paul George closing out games? I wouldn't. But that's I don't think the Clippers. They're still a deep team.
I don't think a lot of Clippers fans do.
Yeah, I don't think so either. and we, you know, we see the Lakers. If there's any issues with Anthony Davis at all, they're clearly not the same group, even though they're a very deep team. And then you've got the Utah Jazz, which, from my vantage point, basically do the same things the Suns do, but better, because they've got a better piece in the middle as a defensive anchor, because
they have the advantage of continuity as well.
Yeah, they certainly do.
They've been very healthy this year. Yep. And by the way, they brought back most of their team.
That's right.
And one of the pieces they brought in was a former Jazz player who was back in the fold and familiar with what they do.
So. And they have playoff experience.
That is true as well.
Yeah. And so I think that's all of that. I'm happy with where the Suns are. If you'd have asked me, because I had high expectations from the very beginning. But at the same time, you've got to be realistic about this. They've got a couple of wins here that they needed to get going into this Lakers game. And I think they're tracking where they need to be. They've blown some games that I think they might regret later. But you know what? They know what's in front of them.
Yeah, and Devin Booker, I mean, you can't get past his performance. He was on a different level last night. Here was Monty Williams on his guards play.
Really efficient. You know, he knocked down his free throws. He missed one. Still had five assists. And, you know, taking 26 shots and playing as hard as he does is pretty remarkable. But the efficiency that he played with tonight, whether it was in pick and roll, mid-range, you know, he was in attack mode all night long. And it certainly wasn't a pretty first half for us, because we turned the ball over. I thought we came out. We turned it over a few times in the third, but there was a moment, I think after about the 6-minute mark, where he just kind of took over the game, and we stopped turning it over, and that allowed for us to get some looks at the basket. But that's just book.
Yeah, he was incredible last night. 14 of 20 on two-point shots. His ability to go left, finish at the rim with the left hand has become such a weapon. He's incredible at it. And the one play that really stands out is the dunk when he went past Jake Layman like he was standing still and then dunked with the left hand. In his 15 games since returning from the injury, Bick, Devin Booker's averaging just a shade under 28 points a game, shooting 52% from the floor, almost 40 from three-point range, and 85% from the free throw line.
Yeah,
he's definitely elevated.
Yeah, I think physically he feels it. I think one of the turning points for Devin Booker was early in the year, I didn't think he was being physical enough. I didn't think he was driving hard the way he did most of all of last year. Mm-hmm. And then remember when he was rejected by the rim, that dunk attempt with the left hand? He clearly wasn't elevating literally then. He's in a great place right now. And the other thing Bill Simmons said, don't be surprised if Devin Booker, you know, just keeps doing this and posts some crazy months going out.
Oh, yeah.
I'm there for it.
Big one tomorrow night in L.A. against the Lakers. Of course, you can hear it right here on 98.7 FM. Coming up next, I don't think anybody expected Larry Watch 2021 to still be going, but here we are on the first day of March. We'll get into the latest developments with Larry Fitzgerald's future next. It's Bickley and Marotta, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Yeah, did I have a desire to continue to play and chase greatness? The only reason you play is to win a championship, and that would be the only reason I would, you know, be participating.
That is Larry Fitzgerald from the Fred Couples radio show back in early February, almost a month ago, right before the Waste Management Phoenix Open. Pro-Am, talking about his future. I think if we were betting individuals, Bick, and we were forced to bet on February 3rd when he made those statements, we would have guessed by March 1st we'd have a resolution.
Yeah, no doubt. And if we were in the red zone before, I don't even know what to call this particular zone. It's certainly expanded the conversation, if you ask me. And you can look at this and dissect this any which way. Maybe there was just this timetable from the very beginning. Maybe it was Larry making it clear to the Cardinals and the Cardinals saying, that's cool, that I am going to take this one to the wall, that I am going to let every day of this offseason wash over me and I will get back to you March 7th, March 10th, whatever the date happens to be prior to the start of free agency. And if the Cardinals were cool with that, and I'm sure they were given the fact that it's Larry, then maybe this is just playing out and maybe this isn't a delay and maybe this isn't a sign of something more. The question becomes, do you wish it were a sign of something more? Well, of course we all do. It's Larry Fitzgerald. But then you've got to get down to the situation of, okay, well, what is his role in the offense? And if he's coming back and what is the figure that of compensation for Fitz if, you know, he's now become a glorified tight end in this offense.
Well, February 3rd was one day on a golf course. February 27th, over the weekend, another day on the golf course. Larry Fitzgerald was down in the Tucson area at the tournament down there. And Brad Sesmat from Sports360AZ.com and the Brad Sesmat Football Arizona show that you see on Fox Sports Arizona. Larry Fitzgerald held a brief gathering with the media.
Nothing's changed from the last time I saw you.
Do you know?
I know I'm about to play some golf.
Okay.
For a great cause. So that's what I do know. But when I do, I'll let you know, Brad.
That's Brad asking the question. Still nothing new since the last time I saw you. I know I'm about to go play some golf.
Yeah, so that didn't sound like a guy who's suddenly hemming and hawing. You know what I mean? That was pretty much I'm not telling you what I'm doing yet.
Which he doesn't have to do.
No.
It's just based on the history of this annual event, it's dragged on a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And there's other, I mean, when the New Orleans Saints were eliminated from the NFL playoffs, the discussion went from Saints playoff contenders to who's going to play quarterback for them next year because Drew Brees is hanging them up. Drew Brees, that was the biggest foregone conclusion, maybe even more so than Philip Rivers hanging him up, which he did shortly after the season ended. Drew Brees hasn't made an announcement in New Orleans either.
No.
And now he's posting these insane workout videos like he's getting into shape.
Yeah, this is really something. And I've made this comparison many, many times. Drew Brees is to New Orleans what Larry Fitzgerald is to Arizona, maybe even bigger, if that's even possible. And I think Drew is really struggling with this. I think he is really struggling with not getting a second Super Bowl on the way out. I think he's really struggling with how bad he's been in the last few years, comparatively speaking, in the playoffs. You know, when other, I mean, Tom Brady came in and took a Super Bowl. Yeah, I don't know.
That was proof to everybody that's in that age range. It's not easy.
But you can do it
if you work hard enough.
Right. That's exactly right. And for Drew Brees to be putting out those kind of videos, that doesn't look like a guy ready to transition to a broadcast booth to me.
Yeah. What are you getting ripped? So you look good next to Jim Nance?
Yeah.
Or whatever network he's been rumored to go to.
I mean, we've done this before. Mm-hmm. It's an effort in futility to try to put yourself into the metaphorical shoes of Larry Fitzgerald and making a decision like this and thinking about it, at least logically in my brain, I can build a very strong case for a proud professional athlete who has spent his entire career wearing one uniform for one organization, not wanting to go out like that.
Mm-hmm.
From a statistical standpoint, which we know the statistics don't mean that much, but when you, the numbers are so ugly on Larry Fitzgerald last year, it's a smudge mark on an otherwise spotless resume.
Because people can look at those numbers and say, oh, he's lost it.
Yes.
And if you think that the not going out like that matters to Larry, not being able to play in the final game of a season, which was a win-or-go-home game, also must be killing him. Also, not being able to play a season where there were fans, essentially, for your final season.
I think those are all factors. Mm-hmm. And I might be absolutely 100% wrong when it's all said and done. But I know that's the way I would feel. Because I think, you know, when seasons would wrap up prior to this past one, Vic, we'd have the discussion on Larry Fitzgerald. And a lot of us would come to the same conclusion. Yeah, the numbers aren't what they were at the prime of his career, but it doesn't look like there's been a lot of visible drop-off. This is the first year, unequivocally, you could say, look at the numbers. There's a drop-off there. He's not the same player.
Yeah.
And maybe there is a drop-off, but I don't think that's the only ingredient in this. I think the Cardinals could have squeezed a lot more out of Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah, listen, and I think it's a very, very convenient, but I also think there's a lot to it. We saw the dysfunction in this offense, how it didn't serve this football team when you got outside of Kyler Murray's running plays. And so there's a lot of projection you can do and say that this is the reason why Larry didn't quite have that statistical impact that he normally did. And I think that's a very generous way to look at Larry Fitzgerald. And that does not surprise me that people would choose to look at him that way. But I think it gets into other territory as well. And that is, okay, is this a money issue? If you were the Arizona Cardinals, I would suggest that you would love for Larry Fitzgerald to come back next year, because Larry Fitzgerald keeps the bottom from falling out of the tub on you. Because he will be the guy, his good vibage, it'll sell tickets, it'll keep people optimistic as long as Larry's around. That's the effect he has on people. But the Cardinals certainly can't pay him $11 million a season. So how much of a pay cut does Fitz want to take? Especially if he doesn't think there's been any drop-off on his end at all. I think that's a fascinating thing. Is this maybe a matter, I mean, if you want to get really conspiratorial, you can ask yourself, well, maybe it means the Cardinals are actually behind the scenes asking about Deshaun Watson. Because maybe that piece would make it a lot more better for a guy like Larry Fitzgerald. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what the delay is. The way he sounded in that little exchange with Brad Sesmat, it doesn't sound like to me like a guy who's suddenly hemming and hawing. It's not like he's putting out workout videos. Like Drew Brees is, like Russell Wilson is. He's not posing that. He's not frantically trying to show the world, look at all I have left.
That's true. But I agree with your assertion that behind the scenes, and we've heard plenty of people from the Cardinals organization, from Michael Bidwill to Steve Keim on Newsmakers Week, say, I haven't talked to him about it.
Uh-huh.
But I
believe that.
I feel pretty confident, though, that the feeling is, yeah, we want him back. Because I think part of it, too, is if you look at the free agent landscape for this team, you think the Arizona Cardinals want to go into next year without the services of two of their greatest players of all time?
No.
Because I don't think Patrick Peterson's going to be here.
No, I don't either. And so I think that's a very frightening prospect for this football team, especially with all the questions about this offense and the head coach and where this whole thing is going and what it's going to look like a year from now. And this division, who would have ever thought there'd be this kind of tumult inside the NFC West? This Russell Wilson thing is devouring the city of Seattle. The 49ers, what is their big move? Do they have one coming? We know what the Rams did. So it's if you were Larry Fitzgerald and you were saying, okay, are we closer to a championship or are we further? I think the answer is not what anybody wants to hear.
Further than when?
Last year. You got a better team. I mean, and again, this is incomplete because you don't have free agents, you don't have draft picks.
Sure.
But it just they're 3 wins better. But I think their competition in the division is outpacing them.
And what goes goes into that decision? If that's the question, are we further away? Are we closer? But there's, you know, unbelievable list of factors that go into that. Where's your belief in the coaching staff, or the instruction, the development of your quarterback, the offensive line, all of those things.
And what if Kyler Murray has another double-digit growth in pro football focus grade like he did from year one to year two? If he takes a step like that, and he's capable of it.
He is.
If he takes another step like that, then all bets are off. Well, who knows what that's going to mean in the context of every single game.
Another step that large just on that grading scale would indicate that Kyler Murray's an MVP candidate.
That would be.
And you're not an MVP candidate if you're not a championship contender. You're just not. So we'll keep an eye on that situation, certainly. Coming up next, the Arizona Diamondbacks have been effusive in their own confidence about the 2021 season. Is it misguided? We'll get into it now that we have actually seen baseball take place. That's next. Bickley and Murata live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios. 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Murata. Dan Bickley and Vince Murata. 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Go!
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said before, I want to be in midseason form, you know, the first day I come out here. So for me, like, stuff like that kind of ticks me off. But yeah, it definitely takes a couple of times just to get used to seeing another team in the box, another team across the field, certain things like that. And just, you know, reminding yourself of those cues. You know, you can get really good at catch play and bullpens and live BPs, but there's nothing that can really, you know, get you ready for seeing another team and another guy in the box.
On Friday's show, Torrey Lovello was on with us, made the announcement Zach Gallen would be his Cactus League opening day starter. We saw that take place yesterday, Bick. 2 innings for Zach Gallen in the first Cactus League game of the year against the Rockies. 2 scoreless innings, walked 2 in the first. But kind of you get a sample there of just what drives Zach Gallen. And he's an interesting character because every time we've ever had Zach Gallen on the show, he's just a laid-back guy. But he also, you know, in that same press availability yesterday, listen to how he describes how he felt.
I felt okay. You know, I mean, I'm the perfectionist. I want everything to be midseason form on February 28th. But, you know, just some small things to work through. Delivery was just felt a little bit off. But, you know, talking to Carson, the action and the shape on the pitches were good. Just some things, some minor things I got to clean up, you know, which not too worried about, but just something that, you know, I'm going to concentrate on, you know, going forward.
Is it possible to be laid back and intense at the same time? Laid back outwardly, intense inwardly?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm sure he is. He's very competitive. Yeah. I think that this is interesting. It was an interesting decision to have him start the first game. Is it symbolic? Is it a window open for him to become the ace of the staff? Is that even a possibility? Do you run it back with Madison Bumgarner as your number one pitcher because of that? It's interesting. I think it's very interesting what's going to kind of transpire here in the next couple of weeks.
Arizona Sports, breaking news.
We got something interesting. It's not official, but it is officially from J.J. Watt and his Twitter account.
Yeah.
Which is verified. The tweet just reads, source, colon, me, J.J. Watt working out in an Arizona Cardinals shirt.
Very interesting.
That is not Photoshop.
No, he said Adam Schefter just reported it. J.J. Watt is signing with the Arizona Cardinals.
Wow!
There you go. There's your news for a Monday.
It's March. We get these big bombshell former Texan signings with the Arizona Cardinals in March. Last year was DeAndre Hopkins.
Right. Okay, this is a great addition to the defense. I did not see the Cardinals investing this kind of money into J.J. Watt, but they did, and they have. Nothing wrong with this, folks. Some marquee presence. Jarrett, why is your jaw on the floor? We've been talking about this every day.
Did you see it happening?
No. But you're acting astonished, like this response is out of left field.
Well, here's the
details. I didn't expect it to come today.
From Ian Rappaport of NFL Network, Cardinals are giving J.J. Watt a two-year deal worth $31 million with $23 million guaranteed.
Wow. Okay, listen, a culture piece like J.J. Watt, this is really, really good, and I think that I made the argument that what I really like about J.J. Watt is what he can bring this room, and I really think this team needs some standard bearers and some standard setters. This is interesting.
We talked about
it. Maybe this is why Larry Fitzgerald's on the fence.
Maybe.
Wait to see what the team does.
Maybe, but, you know, if this is the first salvo for this offseason.
Yeah.
And they got the advantage because he was waived. He didn't have to wait till the beginning of the league year. He talked about how wild this process was. This is huge.
Yeah, this is definitely huge. People had thought J.J. Watt was going to be earmarked to a couple of places, and a lot of people thought the Packers were really going to be the sentimental choice.
Well, I heard
this is going to be a sentimental decision for J.J. Watt, and he went to college in Wisconsin. And everybody thought, okay, that's a team ready to win a Super Bowl. This is fascinating.
Well, everything that I had read in this process, Bic, about J.J. Watt and people in the know, it had boiled down to four teams. You mentioned one, the Packers. The Browns got a mention. Pittsburgh got a mention because his brothers played there, and there seemed to be a late push for Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
But him staying west.
Yeah. Okay, so I would also say I would kind of assume now if you're bringing in J.J. Watt on a two-year deal at that kind of price, I doubt now you're going to franchise tag Hassan Reddick, because if you're going to have Chandler Jones and J.J. Watt as part of a rush the passer kind of edge guys, you're not going to give Hassan Reddick that kind of raise and tag, I don't think.
I mean, without having all the numbers in front of you, it would seem doubtful with that much money invested in J.J. Watt that you're bringing both of those guys back.
Yeah. Wow. This is a great signing, and I did not see this coming, and it addresses a need, and more to the point, it gives them, it helps them keep up in what has become an arms race in the NFC West. When the Rams sign a guy like Matthew Stafford, that's a sign, hey, we're upgrading. When the 49ers are trying to see what they can do about upgrading from Jimmy Garoppolo, it's because they feel this kind of pressure. I think the Cardinals signing J.J. Watt is going to just kind of add to that.
Yeah, and to the point, we had the discussion earlier in the show, Bic, about the thought of Larry Fitzgerald. Is he closer to a championship? Put now the thought process, and J.J. Watt had no shortage of suitors for his services for the next 2 years. J.J. Watt obviously believes the Cardinals have a chance to compete for a Super Bowl championship, or else he's not signing here.
Yeah.
You got to get these numbers somewhere else.
Uh-huh.
That's my guess anyway. And again, let me remind you of this. This is some of my favorite audio from the calendar year of 2020. J.J. Watt, at the end of the year for the Texans, their most frustrating season ever as a franchise, didn't call out anybody by name, but listen to the passion in his voice about what the Texans were putting out there.
You can't come in and put work in the building, go out to the practice field and work hard, do your lifts and do what you're supposed to do. You should not be here. This is a job. We are getting paid a whole lot of money. There are a lot of people that watch us and invest their time and their money into buying our jerseys and buying a whole bunch of and they care about it. They care every single week. We're in week 16 and we're 4-11, and there's fans that watch this game, that show up to the stadium, that put in time and energy and effort and care about this. So if you can't go out there and you can't work out, you can't show up on time, you can't practice, you can't want to go out there and win, you shouldn't be here.
because this is a privilege. It's the greatest job in the world. You get to go out and play a game. And if you can't care enough, even in week 17, even when you're trash, when you're 4-11, if you can't care enough to go out there and give everything you've got and try your hardest, that's so that's how I think it's that's there are people every week that still tweet you, that still come up to you and say, hey, we're still rooting for you. We're still behind you. They have no reason whatsoever to. We stink. But they care and they still want to win and they still want you to be great. That's why those people aren't getting paid. We're getting paid handsomely. That's why. And that's. That's who I feel the most bad for is our fans and the people who care so deeply in this city and the people who love it and who truly want it to be great. And it's not. And that sucks as a player to know that we're not giving them what they deserve.
Yeah, that I mean, that doesn't sound like a guy who wants to come to Arizona to close out his career. That sounds like a guy who's still got a deep fire.
No, yeah, of course.
And a guy who's been affected by injury recently, too, that has cast some doubt on what he has left in the tank. We talked to Sean Pendergast, the radio host in Houston, who said, yeah, I'd bet on J.J. Watt having a lot left. He got triple teamed all year long. They didn't have anybody else on that defense. This is enormous.
Well, listen, and the reason why it's enormous is it's a huge financial commitment from a team in Arizona that has a lot of holes to fill. This was one of them. I did not think that the numbers were going to work out that would allow them to spend this kind of money in a guy who has been a very limited participant in recent years.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with J.J. Watt is you're getting a great football player, but how many games is he going to be able to play? Listen, this is the type of guy they need very badly in this room. And so I hope there's a coherent plan to pay others and to make other good decisions like this. But this is not anything anyone expected.
And are we sure that it even is the right money? Is the money going to work out?
Well,
because of what it might prevent them from doing.
I mean, we don't know. We don't know in sum what these additions are going to be, and if the Cardinals are already operating on premises that J.J. Watt is going to be what we spend instead of paying Hassan Reddick, that there is going to be salary relief coming from Larry Fitzgerald. Now we don't know that, but that might be part of this. But this is this is a J.J. Watt decision. That's what makes this so fascinating to me. And thank you to DeAndre Hopkins for the stellar recruiting work.
Steve Kime made reference to DeAndre Hopkins becoming a recruiter on all of this. In case you're just joining us, J.J. Watt coming to the desert, signing with the Cardinals a 2-year deal worth $31 million, $23 million guaranteed, according to sources. We just had the whole show blow
That's
up
right.
in a really good way, but we're going to get the reaction of Charles Davis, NFL analyst, and one of our favorites. We'll get his thoughts on the J.J. Watt signing next. It's Bickley and Marotta, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.